All right, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to this Monday, December 4th, public meeting of the Board of Garrett County Commissioners. Thank everybody for coming. If you would, please stand and join me in the pledge, and then Pastor Kroll will give the invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Bow your heads with me. Lord God, we thank you for this day. There is the sense of impending cold, Lord, but you are Lord over all the weather. And we thank you for giving us a good fall. We thank you, Father, also for the celebrating of Thanksgiving. And now as we come on Christmas, pray, Father, that joy would pervade all these lives that are here, and that you would continue to make these men a blessing to the region. Grant them wisdom, Lord, especially as they interact with our lawmakers at the state level, national level even. We pray, Father, that all this would be guided by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Mr. Knoll, are there any additions, deletions, or corrections to the public agenda?
No, sir, there are not.
Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the public agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Agenda is approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes in advance of the meeting, or any additions, corrections, or concerns to the minutes? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Minutes are approved by mutual consent. First item of business on the public meeting agenda is bid awards with the purchasing department. Gentlemen.
Afternoon, gentlemen. First one we have for you is for the Fire Prevention System Services, bid number 17-1109FP. It was advertised for 2 weeks. Bids were due on November 9th. There was bid packets, distributed seven bids, seven bid services. Three responses were received in the bid tab was forwarded for your reference. After reviewing bids and feedback with facilities and maintenance, the recommendation is to award bids to the following two contractors: Arc System out of Cumberland, Section 1, which would be for the sprinklers, pumps, backflow preventers, fire alarms, everything except from the fire hood suppressant systems for locations 1 through 8. We'd also like to give Section 2, which is the monitoring systems, to Arc Systems. The last section we'd like to award to Fire Prevention or Fire Protection Products out of Cumberland, Maryland. Section 1, the hood suppression systems only, and then Section 3, which is fire extinguishers, inspections, and services. Now, this contract will go from December 1, 2017 through November 30, 2018, with the option for two additional one-year renewals at the mutual consent of both parties.
Questions on RFP number 17-1109FP?
Usually you mentioned something about our experience with these companies or the due diligence you did or whatever. What about these two companies? Do we have any experience with them?
We have been using these since I've been here. So it's been on 9+ years. And they've been a company that's been with the county for 15 plus.
Both of these?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I hear.
Any other questions? We'll take the next one as well.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. Have a contract award for your consideration today. This is for updates to the comprehensive plan. Proposals were accepted on October 24th. A total of four responses were received. A five-panel selection committee reviewed the four responses based on selection criteria outlined in the RFP and developed an overall evaluation summary, which was shared with you previously. The recommendation at this point of the selection committee is to move forward and award a contract to AECOM Technical Services, Inc. out of Morgantown, West Virginia, at a total cost of $98,157. AECOM is subcontractor of Downstream Strategies and TRC and Associates. We did contract references for AECOM and TRC. We have a previous working relationship with Downstream Strategies. The references come back very favorable for AECOM and TRC and Associates. There is $100,000 in the budget to cover this project, and AECOM is anticipating a November 2008 completion time for the plan.
2018.
That's not for backwards.
Okay, any questions on RFP number 17-1024? Hearing no questions, we'll take a motion to approve both number 17-1109FP and number 17-1024.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Motion and second. Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, next on the agenda, we have the Garrett County Department of Emergency Management and the National Weather Service Storm Ready Certification. Is Fred here? Hi, Fred.
Okay, commissioners, good afternoon. It's always good traveling to Garrett County in early December when it's 60 degrees outside, so
yeah.
That's a good thing. So we're here. So my name is Fred McMullen from the National Weather Service in Pittsburgh. And for those of you that kind of want to back a little quick background with us, so we are the forecasting service office that covers Garrett County, Maryland. It's the only county in Maryland we have. And we issue all the watches, warnings, and advisories that go out for Western Maryland, Western PA, Northern West Virginia, Eastern Ohio. And we've been working with John for the last couple of years on multiple activities. When we had the Whitewater International Olympic trials here and testing qualifying, we worked with them. We brought meteorologists down to staff it to kind of, you know, keep them apprised of the weather hazards, lightning, wind. We worked with them on the Traffic Advisory Council in terms of, you know, providing winter outlooks, providing programs, and, you know, things how we can help strengthen our relationship, because our relationship here is really strong. We get calls from the school department at 4 a.m. when it snows every morning to kind of see what the wave is, the forecast trends, you know, what can we do to, you know, give them the best information possible, make sure the kids are safe. So we work with a lot of entities inside the county. It's probably our strongest relationship of all 36 of our counties and four states that we have in the wintertime is Garrett County. So again, feather in the cap of the folks down here. And so this is something that John's been working on. So this is the Storm Ready program here. And storm ready does not mean storm proof. So this time we're not going to put a wall up around Garrett County and say there's no more tornadoes, no more winter storms. But what it is it's a program that tests the infrastructure of the county. How do you receive weather messages? Multiple ways to receive weather notifications, multiple ways to send the information out, do exercises that involve weather, but also host spotter training to get spotters trained, which is citizens. It's a free training session. They come in, they learn about weather and how to report severe weather, flooding, snow to the National Weather Service. And so this process we've been working with about the last year or two. And so I'm pleased, you know, John came to our office and visited. We've been down here several times, kind of helping them, helping the county out. The school's done a great job. They've put these really nice weather systems in the two high schools, Northern and Southern. We have access to the cameras. We use those a lot in our office in the wintertime because we have limitations with our radar down here, seeing what's going to happen, because you get a lot of people from, you know, Pittsburgh and Flatlanders that come down here for winter fun. And they look at the radar on their app and they say, that's not snowing down there. Well, you get down on I-68, it's snowing to beat the band. So they think our radar doesn't work. Well, our radar does work, it just has limitations. Well, that's why we use these webcams from the schools to really help us out. So anyway, so this is a program that, so we're trying to get the whole state of Maryland storm ready. And so Garrett County has now chopped off that. We're still working with some counties on the Eastern Shore now. But anyway, for the meantime, you know, kudos to John and Jenny and John from MELA for all their help, you know, with us and, you know, really helping our partnership really grow over the time. And it's stronger than it ever has been. And with John and, you know, in control, I'm assuming it's just going to get better from there. So congratulations to the county and to John and Jenny for all the hard work. So with that, I have a little ceremony here for the county commissioners there. Storm ready. If I did this right, this is Jenny's. So I got Jenny's right there. And I got John's right here. So anyway, congratulations on being storm ready. And it's good for 3 years. You renew it. And you kind of just make sure your application's up to date. And then you can get certified again for 3 more years from the state. So
is there a possibility we can get a picture?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. However you want to do it, John. Right in front?
In front would be fine.
Yeah.
Fred, why don't you take a minute and tell them about what the winter outlook is?
Yeah,
I know you've toned us.
I'm glad this meeting, I'm not going to the next meeting because it's going to be really cold starting Thursday and through the next 2.5 to 3 weeks.
Moon.
Yeah, and so it looks like, I was telling John, it looks like between now and maybe the next 10 days, you can see the first several inches of snow in Garrett County by December 15th. And the pattern looks like when it locks in by later this week, it probably won't break until after Christmas. So I was telling people in the fall, is when we have above average Atlantic hurricane season like we had this year, there's a strong correlation, about 65% chance we're going to see above average snowfall in December. So when the it's kind of interesting how we correlate and translate everything, but it looks like it's going to happen this year, unfortunately. So I'm glad I came to the December 4th meeting, not the December 18th meeting. So I'll let one of you guys hold this here. I've held these signs.
There you go.
There you go.
We did better luck.
All right, ready?
See my good side.
And it's coming so
Can you look over here real quick? Oh man, what a good looking bunch.
One more.
I'm slow. All right, one, two, three. Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the agenda. Appreciate it.
I got to tell y'all, I went through a meeting with him. He said we're going to have snow around Halloween.
I'm in prediction, not production. That's always helpful.
So how much snow we get for the year?
So it looks like this year, I would say you're going to have more snow than you had the last 2 years. You're probably right around. Yeah. And then you'll probably have about, I would say, within 10 to 15 inches above almost no fall this year. Above your seasonal average. But it won't be the frigid it was somewhere in 2015. So that's the thing.
Good.
10 to 15 inches, that's like one storm.
Thank you.
All Thanks, right. Fred. Thank you very much, Fred. Appreciate it. Thank you. And congratulations, John, on getting that award. Next up is John with the update, Garrett County Emergency Operations Plan.
I have here for your reading enjoyment a revised edition for Emergency Operations Plan. And it was mostly updating as far as our plan, but basically the Garrett County Emergency Operations Plan is a document that we use to help to guide us, you know, through all hazards. I'm digging for my glasses in the meantime. With all hazards approach, as far as preparing for any type of responses to ensure our highest level response that we can perform for preparedness, response, recovery, and mitigation. Also kind of helps us to prepare, such as storm ready for our citizen notification and trying to do a better job getting citizens prepared for impending weather events, which is one of our highest threats. And it also describes as far as how we mobilize county, state, and other partners and our essential staff. But that's basically
just
it. We do have a copy. It's available if you would be interested in a copy to kind of look at it. It's the first section of the document. The other sections, it's got like individuals' home phone numbers and stuff like that. Obviously, we don't produce that, you know, for the public, but we do have the basic concept plan. If anybody's interested, you're more than welcome. If you see something with the plan, you're more than welcome to email me, and you know we can consider you know whatever you comment to do. Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. So next, we actually have to approve the plan as laid forth by John. So are there any questions? If not, do we have a motion to approve the emergency operations plan as presented?
So moved.
All right, motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion, a second. Question on motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, next on the agenda is the yearly legislative requests. I want to welcome Senator Edwards and Delegate Beitzel. Thank them for coming, finding time to come in and We only have a few actual specific requests, and I know the liquor board has a few. I do want to announce that the delegate and senator will be at Garrett College on Thursday at 6 o'clock for the public session. So if any vested groups, I see some people representing groups out there, have specific requests, the time to do that would be Thursday at Garrett at 6, if anyone's interested in that. Our requests, and I think, Kevin, did you provide paperwork?
Yes.
The requests. The two specific ones from us, one is for legislative bond, the amount of $164,000 for the Bloomington water storage tank. As you guys know, we've been working on that for a long time. That's the final piece and the final piece of financing for that particular project. Obviously, it's much needed, and upgrades that facility. The county will replace two existing tanks, one 150,000-gallon tank for $547,365. United States Department of Agriculture Rural Development grant funding has been obtained for $410,950, leaving an outstanding cost of $163,415, which is where that amount came from. The request for gap funding to construct a 150,000-gallon water storage tank for the town of Bloomington. So I don't know if there's any other comments on that or questions from you guys on that.
Yeah, I have a question on that.
Sure.
Obviously, as you indicated, you've been working on this for a while. I know at one point you were going to looking to connect to Western Port System, and Western Port to build a new tank, and they were going to run a line up to Luke, and then you were going to bring that from Luke up to Bloomington and then abandon your water treatment plant and your storage tank, and which would have, that would have eliminated that necessity. But that project's not going very well. I mean, Western Port's building a new line, but yeah, the deal that they were making with the paper mill apparently is in limbo.
Right.
But the question I have is, that doesn't the county commissioner still set as a sanitary commission? Aren't you still the authority for the sanitary district? And I just, the reason I ask, because when I was administrator, we borrowed money as a sanitary commission, and this was under the purview of those all those projects were under the sanitary commission, and the sanitary commission approved those things. We didn't have to go through legislation to borrow the local share on these projects. Since if this is still being done as a sanitary district and as part of your public works projects, is it necessary to have specific legislation on every one of these lending issues in order to be able to do what you want to do? That was my question.
I think the difference is that we're asking for a general bond, which would basically be a grant for this amount of money rather than a loan.
So rather than borrowing money from the Maryland Department of Environment, USDA.
Yeah, we're trying, because Bloomington's a distressed area in many ways, we're trying to find ways to keep their rates low and their fees low.
With a bond, you have to find a bond agent. Bond council, and you have to go, I don't, maybe a smaller bond like this, and maybe the costs are minimal, but have you investigated what it really costs to issue the bonds themselves?
We've gotten general bonds in the past through this process, and there were no costs.
This is the bond.
Yeah, this is a bond
oh,
bill.
A bond? Oh, right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm completely. I thought you were going to get.
No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to confuse you.
For us to put a bond in.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
That's okay.
Did you get any money from MDE at all on this project?
We have our money from USDA for this.
None from
not for this project.
Fund, whatever it's called?
Not for this project, no.
Did you ask for it?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. My projects are running together.
Pat isn't here. I would like to say we did, but we can find out for you. I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
Normally, he would explore all possible funding sources.
Well, if you did and you didn't get any, it'd be interesting to know why they didn't do
that. Okay, I'll find that out and let you know.
Any other questions or comments on the Bloomington water storage tank?
Yeah.
I think, Emily, you gave us money on that. What else was in this project? This is just the storage tank.
This is the tank.
Right. Pieces to that project.
The treatment plant.
Yeah, I think we got money from MDE.
I think you're right.
But I'm not sure for the tank was an emergency allocation because we had to take one out of service because it deteriorated. The second one is also in.
I think I don't want to speak for Pat, and I may be speaking out of turn.
The treatment plant we got MDE funding for.
Right. This is a piece of the total project. Time was of the essence on this. So MDE has skin in the game on the treatment facility. Not necessarily the.
But I don't know specifically if we asked, so I will find that out. Yes.
So you got $410,000 from rural development, Department of Ag and Rural Development.
Yes.
What you can use is a match, it's got to be 50. If you really can't match state to state, so
right.
You can use that. And that's specifically for this tank, not the rest of the system.
Correct, that's correct. Just for the tank.
Anything else on Bloomington?
One, just to make sure we're on the same tone here. You want the bond bill in the name of the Garrett County Commissioners, right?
Yes.
The bond
money comes the department comes to the commissioners. That's correct.
Okay, and the other one, the other request is more procedural than anything else. We'd like to amend the Garrett County Code of Ordinance on bids and contracts. It says here that except for transactions under Division D of this section or is otherwise authorized by law, the county commissioners or any employees of Garrett County may not enter into any contract of sale or purchase to which the county is a party where the amount involved under contract exceeds $15,000 without advertising in one or more newspapers circulated in the county. We're asking to go to the state level of $25,000, so we want to change that minimum from $15,000 to $25,000. The change will align with the county's procurement policy, align the county's procurement policy, as I said, with the state policy, and at least three competitive bids will be required under $25,000. These won't necessarily have to be advertised in newspapers. It's a cost-saving measure for us. Any questions or comments on that? It's pretty cut and dry, really. The only other couple things we'd like to just mention, I know many of these we've talked about before and we know where you stand on it, but just to publicly state them again, we would ask and appreciate your continued support for restoration of highway user money. If I can bring that up one more time. If you haven't heard, we got robbed of that at one point in time.
Yeah.
The other thing, we had a meeting earlier in the year, and some interest groups from our county, and you guys were there. The State Lakes Protection and Restoration Fund, we certainly support funding that fund. I know there might be an opportunity or a desire from one of you guys to actually put in a bill on this. We support that. Would be willing to help if we get to that point. The number thrown around at one point was $3 million per year. And we'll defer to you on the amounts and the mechanisms, but we do support getting money into that fund. And the other thing, I guess maybe a little bit along those lines, and I think you all received an email just recently, and I don't know if there's a specific ask here or what, just an ask to look into this to see if there's any reconciliation here, because apparently The Occoganey watershed is not eligible to receive funds from the Chesapeake and Coastal Bays Trust Fund. Obviously, that's the major source of funds for environmental protection and restoration that all Marylanders pay into. And if all Marylanders pay into it, yet we can't get any money out of it, I think there's an equity question there for the powers that be of, you know, how do we protect and maintain our waterways, and or how do you justify taking money for us to put into something we can't take advantage of, I guess. So I don't know all the ins and outs of that. It just came to our attention recently, and just ask you guys to look into that and see what's going on there. So those are just a handful of other things, awareness more than anything else. So if there's no other questions or comments from the commissioners or from you guys to us, I'll turn it over.
I got one more thing.
Yes, sir.
George and I at the Humane Society asked us, met with George and I and asked us to assist them with an issue of them. They're limited in their ability to be able to continue to fulfill some of the things that they did as far as looking at neglected and abusive animal issues. And rather than me try to explain to you what their problem is, but it appeared to be something they've asked us maybe for potential legislation, which would involve your authority as the county commissioner or questioning that authority. So I think Meg is here, and I'd ask her if she would come explain, you know, what their problem is. And I think maybe you've seen the correspondence on it, but it's something that we wouldn't do without your authority. So rather than us try to explain to you what the issue was, I thought maybe perhaps better the Humane Society did that, and then you determine whether or not it's something that you would be able to support or not.
I think the commissioners have been made aware of our issue that the abuse and neglect portion of animal welfare has been handled by the Humane Society. The program is in our ability to manage it. So we're asking the commissioners if they take that portion of that that law from Maryland over.
They're not going to do it or go out of business, so to speak. I think the reality is it would fall back to the county in some form. So we're asking you to look at this section, 67, under care of mistreated and neglected animals, where starting with the second sentence there. I think Mike wrote something up in the Senate or under your signature, Kevin, and so I think they're down in numbers considerably. They just can't do it anymore. So if they say we're not going to do it, and you don't have a group here under the Humane Society, then the legal question is where to get them. And I think legally you would look to probably go to the county. We're asking you all to look at this section and see if there's something we can't, or you can't come up with to help them out. I mean, I think, and maybe again you chime in here, I think they're willing to work with you all and help out when you can, but they just don't have the personnel to do it anymore. And I think, isn't it under the existing law, you have to have a law enforcement officer go with you anyway?
Some cases, yes.
I think the way the law is currently written, We don't have the authority to do that. So, I mean, if they go out of business today, we couldn't accept that responsibility.
So that's why if
that's, right. So that's your question you're asking.
Asking us to give right. to give you the authority, and we're saying that you take a look at this, and that you, we're obviously not going to put in legislation to something that you don't want to agree to.
Now I understand what you're saying, but if they do, you know who's going to get all the phone calls?
No, we're going to have to take a serious look at it and see if we're getting something that somewhere there that can be worked out to help them or preserve.
I can pull that information again and share it with you so to refresh your memory.
Yeah, we'll certainly take a look at it, talk with Mike, and see if we can come up with something to help out.
One other comment on the liquor issue. You know, we worked every year with Debbie and the Liquor Control Board, and they do a great job of coming forward. We thought we pretty well cleared all those things up, but Debbie keeps coming up with something else. So I think we've got the Sunday sales issue all straightened out now, don't we?
Yes.
She's working on 2018.
we're having to work with her on those issues and make sure we get those squared away.
We'll turn it over to the Liquor Control Board. We talked earlier today and looked at their list, going back to the comment you made sort of in reference to the Humane Society. We are in agreement with the request by the Liquor Board here, so we're in concurrence, so I'll turn it over to them.
Do you guys need
it? I think we got it.
I'll stand
with them.
I gave them the summary, not the whole.
I guess because I like legislation so much, I went ahead and drafted my own bill. So a few things we have this year. Some go for our nonprofit businesses. Some are for the for-profit package store. First item is an art establishment license. This is to be used for limited beer and wine service at a nonprofit gallery. Most jurisdictions have this license already, and as far as the alcohol legislation goes, we're a little behind on some of the trends. So it's a common license for galleries for when they have events with the artist, or in this case it will be used at an event where maybe art is being taught, shown, displayed. So it's kind of works all of that, and I did work with our local nonprofit gallery on drafting this legislation, so we've had feedback and worked together with them on that. The license itself allows them to serve or sell. So if they had an event where the artist was showing their work, it could be served, or if there was another type of a fundraiser, they could sell it. So I think it covers everything we need for it. We did work back and forth on it a little bit, and we're in agreement on that. The next one is our Beer and Wine Street Festival license. Once again, this is for a nonprofit. It's only permitted in an arts and entertainment district. And this request came from some of our local retail license holders in the town of Oakland. So they want to do an event where it's you can go from one business to the other with your alcohol. Normally, you can't leave the premise with your alcohol. So this allows you to have a street festival down on, say, 2nd Street in Alder, and you can walk from the various businesses that are license holders there, or the nonprofit has their license and they can set up. Some jurisdictions, this is their First Friday type of venue. So we have two arts and entertainment districts currently, Grantsville, which I talked with the town of Grantsville, and Oakland, I've talked with the town of Oakland. So that's kind of where we are with this license. It's allows, compared to if we just issued a nonprofit an event license, it doesn't allow the intermixing up on licensed premises. So that's our next one is for
So would that be a license for that event, or would this be a blanket license at any time they want?
Per event, they would come in front of the board, and that's an event that's open to the public. Probably the estimated attendance is over 500, so it would always go in front of the board and be advertised.
We have a beer, wine, and liquor tasting that we're asking. Currently, we only have a beer and wine tasting and craft distilled spirits. It's becoming a little more trendy to taste the distilled craft whiskeys in various vodkas. This would be only for our package stores because it's an on-premise tasting. On-premise business, a restaurant could already do this similar event at a fee. This allows the package store to have a tasting, limited serving sizes and quantities, and we plan to address that in our local rules and regulations. It gives the board a little more control over if we need to change it or if what we're proposing is very restrictive. So jurisdictions have twice the amount of what we're proposing in our local rules and regs. And there is a fee for this. The package stores pay it. We can only have 7 businesses who qualify for it, and I spoke with all of them, so they are of the understanding and agreement on the proposed size and the upgrade of the license. Next on my list is the Deep Creek Art and Wine Festival. They requested to include craft distilled or craft beer at the festival. The wine festival license that we issued them only allows wine, and then we have a separate beer festival license. So we're looking to work with Andy Lantner and the Legislative Services to just craft this specific to the Deep Creek Festival. It'll probably even narrow it down to the weekend and the day and venue, and then gives us a little more we can control it.
Flexibility,
exactly. And then someone else can't apply for that same license that same weekend. Similar to the Maryland Wine Festival license, other jurisdictions can't hold a wine festival that same weekend. So that one, you don't have a draft on that, because Andy and I were talking about it, and we want to kind of work a little more in detail. Resident requirement is currently a 2-year requirement, so anybody new coming into the county that wants to start a business and apply for a liquor license, they have to have someone local on the license for them because the law requires a 2-year residency. So we're looking to lower that to 1 year. Some jurisdictions are already at 1 year or 6 months or resident of the county. I had a business right before I came over, a phone call, somebody wanting to buy a business, but they live in Frederick. So I'm like, yeah, I have a license, but you're going to have to put somebody on there till you meet the residency requirements. So I think I have 3 businesses right now that have somebody local on there until they get their 2-year residency. So this is just to help with businesses coming in to get them a license on their own.
Debbie, why is there a residency requirement? That's been coming up in some of our discussions lately.
It probably goes back to the right after the prohibition. When we have a violation hearing, we want that person readily available. We don't want them in California and then, I can't get to the meeting. So that's kind of a little bit for accountability.
I mean, they would have a local manager though, right? I'm asking this is this, excuse me, Barbara. This has actually been coming up quite a bit because there is some interest from what we're hearing, some of these, especially with some of the craft breweries that might consider looking into the area or some of the restaurants, that they would have a local manager, but actual ownership is outside of the county.
I mean, it's pretty much statewide, the 2-year. There's a few kind of that have the multiple, and I kind of don't want to say I'm going to turn around next year and say, hey, you have to be a current Garrett County resident, but we need that. When we have violation hearings, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, they can't make it, they have this. You know, when there's a violation hearing, you have a responsibility to your license, and you need somebody. And management, we've never really had that, but some of our larger businesses that have outside investors, the local person's already on the license as qualifying for residency, and they're already the manager, so kind of capture that with that. But it could be something that we might come back and ask as things change. You know, you get into some of the other jurisdictions where the boundaries are, you live in one county, your business is in another, so it is a common issue probably. But that's why we were lowering it to 1. The business owners who are here, who have requested 1 year, worked for them. So
You know, the phone call I just took, I suggested the real estate agent go on the license for the year, you know, but that's a temporary fix, and it's gets them in compliance, but it's not how, you know, there's so many people that want to live in Pennsylvania but have a liquor license here, and they don't want to, even though they have a second home, they don't want to change their residency and full-time status to Garrett County, so this was our compromise as a board on that.
Thank you.
Then our last one is the beer festival license. Currently, it doesn't allow the nonprofit to apply. It allows the breweries to apply and a retailer, and we want the nonprofit to apply. This came from a request from Oakland Mountain Lake Lions Club for their chillin' event. The license that the nonprofits use right now does not allow takeout sales. So if you're having a beer festival, you want takeout sales. So this is kind of just adding them as a qualifying applicant. And then with our code revision, there's still some corrective bills on the from going from Article 2B to the alcoholic beverages article. So they will be addressed in a statewide bill, and we do have two of those in the code revision, and Legislative Services is aware of that, so that doesn't go in front of you guys because it's a housekeeping bill. And we would like to request if July 1 for the date, if we have support on the bills.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Just one question, Debbie. You usually are, but would you be available Thursday night to explain these?
Yes, it's on my schedule. I think Dave's going with me. He'll be my assistant.
Chaperone. We would request a letter from the board supporting these alcohol-related bills, including that starting date of July.
Yep.
And as we usually do, we'll when we get the bill drafted, we'll send them to Debbie and let her check it all out before we drop the bill.
Any questions, comments? You guys have anything else for us or for the Liquor Control Board?
There was a question last after we passed the ATV bill. Does anything need to be changed in the ATV bill as it's in law now? I know the question about, because it didn't specifically say you couldn't do it on state highways, but I think Mike said something about you can interpret that.
Right.
I mean, you can't do it anyway.
Right.
There was a question of whether it ought to be in the bill, and I think there might have been another issue. So I'm just asking, is it, because Allegheny County has asked to be included in that law. So
yeah. We
want to know, do you think there needs to be any, while we're doing this?
I'm not aware of anything that at this point needs to be changed. Seems to work. We're about 300 registered, have issued about 300 so far.
What do you charge for the?
$50.
You have to display
it. Yeah, it's a permit.
Decal.
Decal goes on a button. Yeah. So we drafted our own ordinance to adopt, to implement the state law.
I think Paul said, didn't you say most of the towns had?
Yeah, I talked with Rob Saturday night and Sheriff Corley, and he said all the towns have adopted it except
Deer Park.
One or two that still had to
Deer
vote
Park
on
and
it.
Oakland, I think of
Lachlan and Oakland. And Oakland was in support. They were just trying to figure out how to do what they wanted to do, and he was supposed to go to Lachlan and explain it to them and see if they wanted to do it. I'm pretty sure that's what he said.
It's been very popular, very well received.
We have no – I'm not aware of any issues.
All right. Anything else? All right, I'll remind the audience that Thursday evening at 6 at Garrett will be the public opportunity to make requests for that, too. And if there is nothing else on that, come the time in the agenda for public comment. Does anybody have any public comment this time? Yes, sir.
Well, along those lines, and I'll be at the public meeting, but the local preference law that we had enacted decades ago under the Glendening administration. I don't believe is working, and unfortunately I forgot to talk to Brian Bolt hours when he was here, but he has all the details. And I respectfully ask the commission to get with Brian and go over that, and there may be need for corrective legislation.
Yep. We did look at that. Okay. Mike Eddy, attorney, said that at this point there's nothing else we can add to the current law to make it any better, because the restrictions, there's no other, nothing else we can put in place.
That gets into interstate commerce.
Interstate commerce and some of that. So we did check on that, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.
Hey, Deb, I know I still have to come over and get with you on a... Are you going to Mako?
No.
Okay.